Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Tuesday, May 29th, 2018. We have the concluding 30 minutes to fit into about a 29-minute segment. So we're jumping right in where we left off yesterday. You're going to hear from Chris Fabry, a Navy SEAL called Brian, Dennis Rainey, and others as they recount the life, the courage, the commitment, the sacrifice, and the faith in God that Adam Brown had as an elite Navy SEAL part of Team 6. Here's a nurse to set the stage.
I'm a nurse in a small rural hospital. My team resuscitated a child whose heart and breathing stopped. Had I not been reading about Adam's life in Fearless, his struggles and triumphs, I would not have felt such peace while leading the resuscitation. I told the team, I got this, and dove straight in and started compressions on this tiny little chest. Afterward, I recalled that this was Adam's catchphrase. This book has renewed my faith. I am stronger and better for it.
Welcome back to the Fearless Radio Special, the undaunted courage and ultimate sacrifice of Navy SEAL Team 6 operator Adam Brown. Fearless is a deeply personal, revealing glimpse inside the SEAL Team 6 brotherhood that also shows how these elite operators lived out the rest of their lives away from danger as husbands, fathers, and friends. Popular radio broadcaster and author Dennis Rainey sat down with Adam's wife, Kelly Brown, and talked about the gift that God gave her in her husband, Adam.
Adam was deployed how many times?
I'd have to count them all up. Probably at least 8 times, maybe more.
Take us to the last deployment and the picture that you asked the guard to take.
Mm-hmm. You know, this was his last deployment. We had looked at this as, you know, Nathan's getting ready to start middle school. That was our agreement in the beginning. You know, we want to be home. He wants to be an engaged father. He wants to be there for his son and his daughter. The life of a SEAL, especially that command, did not make that easy. So it was his last deployment, and we were going to move home. So we kind of had all these ideas in our head and, you know, all these things that we were kind of planning to do. So with him deploying, it was just like, okay, let's just do this. Let's get it done. Just go do it and then just come home. I wasn't worried about it. There wasn't any apprehension. It was like, baby, just go do your job and come home. We've done this long enough. Let's come home. So that night, though, dropping him off at the command, February 26th, I'll never forget it. I spent the whole day with them. I saw him, you know, picking up the kids, and their legs have definitely gotten longer at this point. This is a long time we've been doing this. And the sadness in my children's faces and the sadness in Adam's eyes. I knew at this point he didn't want to go anymore. He wanted to stay, even though he was very devoted to his job and he was very proud of what he was doing, and he knew he was doing a good thing. So, you know, as far as that went, it was okay, but he didn't want to leave his family anymore. And so I, for some reason, I've never done this in the past, but I was like, Adam, please, there's a gate guard right here. Do you mind if I just ask him to take one picture? Just one. I just want one. Of us dropping you off. I don't have one, and I just would really like all of us. So we all hopped out of the car, and Adam was like, oh. And so the gate guard did. He was so nice, and he took that picture. And I'm so thankful I have that picture now, because that was the last time we saw. They say a picture's worth 1,000 words, and there's so much truth to that.
Wow, yeah.
Because that was the last time we said our goodbyes, and I just remember holding his face, and he promised me he'd be home. But, you know, he promised me he'd come home. And I believe that. He was tough. He was invincible. So I was like, okay, just go knock this out. Come home. We're going to move back to Arkansas. And we're going to start enjoying our life with our family. But then, you know, we would have email conversations and, you know, phone conversations. And I always knew that, and we both knew that we could, like, look at each other's email and see if they read our last email to see if they're, because I didn't know where he was. And there were times where he wouldn't be able to access his email or something. But I know if he read it, he got it. So at least he's okay. And vice versa with me. So March 17th, you know, I'd sent him an email I thought he should respond to, but I hadn't heard from him. And so it was St. Patrick's Day. So my concern was making sure the kids had green on to go to school. Hmm. I think about the pettiness of that day in my life as an American.
Yeah.
I knew what we had, what we were up against, but even my husband's out there. And I spend the day of, you know, going to exercise with my girlfriend, going and having a smoothie at, you know, and then going to Target to shop and just hanging out and picking up the kids, making sure they're wearing green and have a little green dessert. And but that's what I was doing the day my husband died. And I didn't know it. But, you know, I was, I checked to see if he got his email, and he hadn't. And then at that point, I put the kids to bed, and then I went to take a shower, trying to clear my head and trying to shake the feelings of, why am I feeling so sad right now? I got this huge, overwhelming sense of sadness. And I didn't understand why. I've never been like this on a deployment. I mean, I knew it was hard, but I was seasoned, a seasoned wife, so to speak. I knew what to expect, and I didn't know why I felt this way. So I got out of the shower, and I started to pray for him because I felt like he was sad. I felt like a sense of sadness come over him that he was away from us. And I didn't want him to be sad and be away from us. So I was like, God, just please, you know, give him your peace and comfort and just let him know that we're all thinking of him. And I know it's hard that he's gone from us, but we think about him. He's the topic of our conversation every day. And so I prayed for his, you know, for him to be able to, you know, rest peacefully and just know that. But I had no idea what I was praying about, you know. I went to bed just with images of like funerals and stuff. I'm like, that would be awful is what I was saying. I'm like, what? I was like, Kelly, this is ridiculous. Stop this. Like, quit and just go to sleep. So I did. I fell asleep after struggling with some of those images in my mind. And I think it's from the past deployments and the stuff I had to see him, you know, go through. And it was just taking me to this place. That's what I thought. And I'd fallen asleep. And that's when, you know, I started hearing, I thought it was my dream, but I heard knocking in my dream. And it was like the second round of knocking, and I started coming to, and then I heard a doorbell. And so I'd gone to bed about 10:30 that night, and this was around midnight. So I hadn't been asleep that long, and the doorbell rang. And so that's when I immediately knew.
Yeah.
Because why would I have had that feeling? So I started making this walk to our door, our front door, and I just stood there, and I didn't want to open it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I didn't want to open it, but I did. I had to open it. I had to accept it or see what was about to happen. And then I see, you know, I hear him talking. I'm not listening to any of the words. I don't think I can even understand them. But I saw our friends, and I knew they wouldn't be there.
Yeah.
They wouldn't do that to me. This would not be a cruel joke. You know, and then I heard my kids, I guess I'd kind of, my knees got weak maybe, and they just kind of held me up, and I didn't know how I was going to tell them. I didn't know what to say, or I was in shock, and I couldn't believe it. This was Adam Brown. This was my husband, and he's not supposed to leave me. And now I have to tell our two children. So I just set them in my lap, and I told them, you know, Daddy's gone to heaven. He's with Jesus now, so his eyes are good, his hand is good, his leg is good, and he doesn't feel any pain, and he's in a very happy place. And they just screamed out, they didn't understand. It just didn't make sense that this man that I'd known for so long and went through so much with, and my strength, or, you know, he was gone.
Kelly, Adam was buried 7 days later at a small cemetery, and his buddies, Navy SEAL Team 6, weren't there.
No, they weren't. There were a few there. The ones that actually flew to Dover and met me, Kevin Houston, John Foss, and Brian Bill, they stayed with me by my side for probably a good month after Adam's passing. And they escorted me everywhere. They stood in front of me to, you know, even like, during the viewings and stuff, they were there for me. And, you know, there's a picture of John Foss and I when we're watching Adam arrive in the hot springs together. And, I mean, they were my shoulder. You know, they were there for me. So there were three that were present from that night that were with me. And I'm so thankful for that.
They were able to come back, though, at a later time.
Yes, after they finished their deployment, Kevin and John and Brian had also gone ahead and met back up with them, and they all came home. So at this point, all of Adam's troop returned to Arkansas, and not just the troop. It was pretty much the whole command. And so we had planes of just SEALs flying into hot springs, and it just overtook the town, and they wanted to perform a funeral. And Adam's last wishes were that people knew the story of the resurrection and make sure people understood Jesus Christ and what he had done for him. And so his father, in front of all these command members and SEALs, and told them about Christ, shared Christ with them, and said that that is what had redeemed and restored Adam, and that he can do the same for any of you. And he was just trying to make that wish for Adam granted.
Yeah, here's the thing that impacted me. These men had seen Jesus Christ in Adam in inconceivable circumstances. I mean, incredibly tough stuff. Yeah. They were his friends, his fellow warriors. And in your book, I moved from weeping to laughter at what these guys did to honor Adam. Highway 70 bridge that Adam had jumped off of from a moving convertible as a 16-year-old.
The guys come home, and, you know, the guys of Two Troop, they decided while we were out on the lake that they were going to, in honor of Adam, get up on that bridge and jump off themselves. So I'm sitting there on the back of a jet ski, and I did not know they were doing this. And I just start seeing all these men walking across the bridge. And
that's a high bridge. We've already established it's either 50 or 60 feet tall.
Yes, it's a pretty tall bridge. And so, you know, our cars are honking at this point, and you just see them. It was such a presence. They all lined up on the bridge, and, you know, they got like hand, you know, they'd spread their arms out to knuckle punch each other, and they all pounded fist and said, you know, for Adam, and they jumped off into the water. And so, you know, all of them did it, and it was so inspiring, and it just made my heart swell with such pride that my husband served with men like these.
What you've been listening to is a conversation with broadcaster and author Dennis Rainey and Adam's wife, Kelly Brown. We'll hear more from Kelly at the close of our program. This is the Fearless Radio Special, the undaunted courage and ultimate sacrifice of Navy SEAL Team 6 operator Adam Brown. The life of Adam Brown is chronicled on the website, fearlessnavyseal.com. That's fearlessnavyseal.com. Coming up on the Fearless Radio Special.
When Adam was shot, Adam did so trying to protect his brothers. He did so trying to position himself to get an advantage to protect his unit.
A conversation with one of Adam's close friends and Navy SEAL teammates. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. Both yesterday and today's edition of this special broadcast called Fearless is archived at greatnewsradio.org under our archive programs link. Returning now to this special feature.
One day after reading about the interactions that Adam had with his wife and children, I was looking at my wife and my four beautiful children and realized that my true purpose in life was to provide for my family and keep them safe spiritually and physically. In the book Fearless, Kelly asked why this happened to her husband, and I think the answer is to inspire people like me to live their lives with a higher purpose.
Welcome back to the Fearless Radio Special, the undaunted courage and ultimate sacrifice of Navy SEAL Team 6 operator Adam Brown. Fearless is the story of a man of extremes whose courage and determination was fueled by faith, family, and the love of a woman. It's about a man who waged war against his own worst impulses and persevered to reach the top tier of the U.S. military. Chris Fabry spoke with one of Adam Brown's Navy SEAL Team 6 teammates and close friend.
Brian, thanks for making some time today to talk about Adam.
Oh, absolutely, Chris. Anything for him and Kelly and the family.
How did you meet Adam Brown, and what was your impression of him?
Well, I met Adam Brown the first day that I showed up for SEAL training out in Coronado. And my first interaction, you know, he's a quiet guy up front and when you first meet him, and he was very motivated and seemed to be focused on always trying to do the right thing and extremely gung-ho.
How did that make you feel to see this? It almost sounds like his quiet strength.
Well, Chris, just being around Adam, you kind of got a feel for the kind of person he was. Definitely was the quiet professional. When it needed to be, where he needed to speak up, he wasn't scared to, had no fear to do so. But he also understood that getting the job done and doing it correctly with honor and integrity was kind of the most important thing to do.
So it sounds like a born leader almost. And what about the rest of the SEAL Brotherhood? What sort of reputation did he have?
Well, Adam's always a go-to guy. If you ever needed anything or anybody needed to count on someone, he had your back. I mean, we're all a brotherhood. We all look after each other. But he had that extra spirit in him, that one that people would know. And if in the event of a bad situation, you have Adam on your side, you know you feel a lot more comfortable.
Hmm. What do you think enabled him then to qualify for SEAL Team 6?
Well, being a SEAL, you're required to have a never-quit attitude. If you don't have it, you're not going to make it. Well, Adam kind of emulated that, and if he couldn't do something or couldn't figure out a way to do it, he would push harder until he figured it out. If you look back in his history of the way he lived his life, he would never want to be told he couldn't do something. So I think it was inevitable that he was going to reach his goal. It was just a matter of how he was going to do it and with how much energy and enthusiasm, motivation that he could do it with. It wasn't a question of if.
We've been hearing these stories, and we're trying to just get this concept of who he was as a dad, as a husband, as a young man. He overcame several injuries that a lot of people would have said, you know, your career is over, including, you know, being shot, blinded in one eye, having his fingers crushed by a Humvee. Determination almost sounds like his middle name, and that's what it took.
Well, determination was an understatement. He was the soul of family, country, God, and that's how he ran his life, and anything that came between him and what he was trying to accomplish for that entity or for that person or for that overlying power, he would do it. And just that he emulated every day, just the determination to the point where it baffled people, the things that he could accomplish.
Is there like an image of him that you recall? If you close your eyes and you think, you know, you try to conjure up an image of him, What comes to your mind?
Well, there are some funny ones and some stories and things that he told us and things that we had seen him do for his wife and for his kid. But quite honestly, one that's always the most touching and where I really knew that Adam and his family would be my family forever is Adam's wife, when he was out at the island, she had been pregnant up until the point where we were going to go. And she was due to go into labor sometimes towards the middle to the end of training. And when he was away with me and we were out finishing up our training, his wife went into labor and she didn't tell him because she didn't want to distract him and keep him from completing what he had to do, because she knew as a result he would probably get rolled and, you know, it would be devastating, et cetera, et cetera. And I mean, obviously that's a quick example of her determination for her husband. But back to the point is, I remember when we did show up and we did come back, as soon as we got back, we were showering up and he got the call that his wife showed up and she brought out his brand new boy to him. And it's the first time that he had seen his baby boy, and I was right to the right side of him, and he put him in one hand and he held him up. He says, you know, he's so small, you know, so is that all right? And he was comical the way he had done it. And it was with pure love and admiration to this incredible little man that he had in his hand. And that became his pride and joy. And just to watch him light up and to see how big that smile went from ear to ear, that was one part of his life that whenever he was with his kids or with his wife, it was entirely that shift or that switch we talk about, where you go from 0 to 100, but in this case, go from operator, warrior, et cetera, to husband, father, and mentor. Adam was one of the most special people I've ever met. And quite honestly, every point of his life, from when he was born until, you know, the day that he had died, he lived that way. He never faltered. I mean, he always, if he fell down, he would get back up. When I say never faltered, he never gave up. And that's really what made him, I think, a legend amongst all of us, is that that determination, if you can take that in your everyday life and just take 1 ounce of it, it'll keep you going.
The circumstances of the death of Adam Brown, we've heard a little bit from Eric Blem, who has written about this, and he's tried to capture this on the page. But I don't think that those of us who are civilians will ever be able to know what it's like in the crucible of a firefight like he went through. What goes through your mind? Can you at all paint a picture of what he went through?
Chris, I mean, it's pretty simple. I think, you know, I don't know what stories have been officially released. I don't know. But I can tell you this for sure, is that when Adam was shot, Adam did so trying to protect his brothers. He did so trying to position himself to get an advantage to protect his unit. Just again, another example of his selfless devotion, no matter what, how intense the situation, no matter how personal the situation, he was always dedicated to that goal, and that goal was a selfless devotion to the people around him.
And how then were you affected by that? What kind of difference did that make in your life?
I mean, you know, losing Adam is losing a brother. We've lost a lot of brothers over the last decade or so. And if anything, you know, in some of the memorial services, we've had some great speakers. And one thing that I've tried to take out of it is, you know, to honor these guys. You know, take those legends, take with their selfless devotion, take their fact that they were the best warriors on earth, they were the best patriots on earth, they're the best fathers, the best uncles, the best friends, the best husbands, and use that in your daily life. You know, honor them as you go forward.
Hmm. Well, when we honor people, we remember those who have served us, served in the military. What would you want people listening to know about how to do that? How do you best honor our servicemen and women?
You know, of course, I've heard a lot of statements about how people feel, what side they're on. And I think to this point, every person that we remember, at least in the conflict that we're discussing briefly, we're all volunteers. You know, they're doing it because they want to do it, because they believe in something. And regardless if you're drafted and they lost their life or they were volunteers, they gave themselves to a selfless devotion to a cause. And it was for what we all felt as a majority was in the best interest of our countries, our families, and the people that that mean the most to us. These are some of the most selfless people on earth that give only of themselves. So I think that's one of the most important things to remember.
Brian, thank you for your service, too, for us. God bless you.
Thank you, sir.
What you've been listening to is a conversation with Chris Fabry and his special guest, Brian, a Navy SEAL and one of Adam Brown's closest friends. Adam Brown's story of courage and determination has prompted many comments and stories from the people who have read it. And now it has been the inspiration for an original song written and performed by Mark Dowdy.
While reading Fearless, I was so inspired by Adam Brown's determination to face some incredible challenges, his addiction, and also what to most would be career-ending disabilities. The loss of his right eye was definitely something I could identify with, having lost the vision in my right eye as a child. So through this process of reading the book, I determined that I wanted to write the song that would honor Adam's life and honor the Brown family. And I do appreciate everyone who is serving our military today, and this song goes out to everyone on this special holiday. Thank you so much.
Be brave. Stand tall. Believe you'll get stronger whenever you fall. Each time life brings you pain, keep faith, rise up above that voice that keeps calling your name in the dark. Walk on, you're not alone, you can live fearless. Second chance is hope renewed. Now he's fighting for the red, white, and blue. His wife and kids by his side. He's a picture of American pride. Life is good, so complete. Said, I'm so glad love never gave up on me. Be brave, be brave, stand tall. Believe you'll get stronger whenever you fall. And each time life brings you pain, keep faith. Walk.
The song Fearless is a tribute to Adam Brown, an American hero who, along with his family, never gave up. Mark hopes this song will inspire you to learn more about Adam Brown and to be brave, stand tall, and live fearless, just like Adam. This has been the Fearless Radio Special, the undaunted courage and ultimate sacrifice of Navy SEAL Team 6 operator Adam Brown. You can discover and learn more about the life of Adam Brown at fearlessnavyseal.com. That's fearlessnavyseal.com. One of Adam Brown's final wishes, written by hand on one of his military forms, was that his spiritual testimony be told, including a phrase he wrote, "My life before I met Christ and Kelly." Adam Brown was even fearless during that time when he requested others share that dark period from his past. Even in death, he selflessly and publicly risked tainting his own legacy so that others might be inspired to see Jesus Christ and overcome their own struggles. We end our program today with a final comment from Adam's wife, Kelly Brown. Here once again is Dennis Rainey.
There's no way to express what undoubtedly our listeners are feeling for Adam and for you and your son and daughter for protecting us. And I know many have said thank you, but I feel compelled to say it one more time.
You know, that's all I need to hear. Is it thank you? Because, you know, Adam believed very much in what he was doing, and I supported that. And to ask him to stop doing what he was doing or pull back because of a little injury, what he considered or any of that, it would have changed the man I loved, and what I fell in love with was his passion. So a thank you to me just lets me know that you are grateful that we have this country we live in because of men like Adam, and also the men of that troop, that all of the men that were with my husband the night of his mission, all the men of Two Troop, the ones that came back and paid the tribute to Adam off the bridge, they all perished August 2011, August 6th. It was the Chinook that went down. And so I lost a lot of friends that day. So Brian Bill and Kevin Houston and John Foss, and I could just list the names. I could list them. And I had to tell my kids again. And they just started calling off names to me. And I was like, he's gone. He's gone. He's gone. They called a friend of ours, Kevin. They called him Uncle Juicy. But the thing about that is, you know, I kept telling myself, you know, God, why Adam? Why Adam? Why did you take him? And now I realize that Adam had to go first. He had to go first because they learned.
They heard.
They heard the story of Jesus. They saw his love through Adam. And there was a friend of ours, so Kevin, Uncle Juicy, this big, tough guy that we had invited to church for years and years and years. And he came, and, you know, he didn't start off so eloquently or whatever. He'd come to church, and he'd be chewing his dip and spitting in the, you know, it's just what it is. And I was just glad he was there. And his wife was working on him. She was praying for him. And he was consistent, though, in his church. And then when Adam passed away, you just saw a change in Kevin. And he was really struggling with why Adam had to leave this world. And Adam's last words were, "I'm okay," when he spoke. And they told me, you know, Matt Mason was there, and who also now is gone. And he said, "Kelly, we really believe he was okay. He was letting go, and he was entering into this heaven of just, he was okay. He was home. He didn't have to be brave anymore. He was home." And them watching his passing, Kevin, May 15th of 2011, walked to the front of our church. And because of Adam's life, he humbled himself and dropped to his knees on the front of our church with his hands raised up high and asked the Lord to come into his heart. Little did he know he was going to die 2 months later. And so now I feel like I know why he had to go first. Because if not, Kevin would not be in heaven. I know that. And there's such a eternal significance to Adam's life and the testimony that he has and he can share. And it's reaching people in places where it's not traditionally reached. And I'm thankful for that.
Keep faith,
rise up above that voice that keeps calling your name in the dark. Walk on, you're not alone.
Wow, a powerful testimony of Adam Brown's life recounted in these 2 days and written in the book called Fearless. You can find out more at fearlessnavyseal.com. That's fearlessnavyseal.com. Gotta go. Hope to see you at Yoder's today. We'll be there till 8 p.m. tonight. Remember, 10% of your total food costs will be donated back to the station as long as you tell them you're there for the Great News Radio event at Yoder's in Arthur. Hope to see you later. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.